dude. Put on your headphones if you want to hear this. We're still testing out the levels, but I don't really care. What up? This is Seth. Don't call me Jack Wilds. I'm here with Tilted Pod Man, Nate the Daywalker Morris, and we are here to talk about modern. Because guess what? It's modern every season, all season, every day, all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. So we're fresh off of a small sabbatical. Well, it's just been a week. And we're ready to talk some games. Let's start off with what we've been doing this week. Nate, how about yourself?
Play testing some other decks, getting off Red White Prison, which I'm sure makes you happy.
Liar.
I did just buy two foil bottled cloisters. If you don't know what the card does, look it up. It's pretty good.
Well, I'm sure we'll get into it when we get it do the deck
breakdown. Yeah, I hope to break it down. I'm sure you won't let me.
No, we'll talk about them.
Other than that, just playing some games, hanging out. We did a Versus series. We've been playing online.
We set up the Versus studio here in the dojo. We set up this cool camera so we can do some live Versus videos. I've been trying to put out some content on MTGO on the YouTubes. That's what my grandparents call it. The YouTubes. You on the YouTubes?
Are you YouTubes?
Are you YouTubing? You YouTubing right now? You new boot YouTubing? but we got this camera hanging from our ceiling right now, ready to show some straight-up modern real paper card games.
Yeah.
Ready to show each other get tilted when we beat each other.
So bad.
We played some games. I played with a lot of affinity, and Nate decided that this is when he wanted to play blue-white-red control.
Yeah.
So that was fun. That was a good time. But then I made him pick up Merfolk. Or as our friend Sean Money Munfield calls it, Merfolk.
Merfolk.
The Merfolk. If they had a tribe that were actually meerkat folk, like meerfolk,
it'd be dope.
It would be the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's what we've been doing. Actually, no, you know what? I got one more thing that I've been doing this week. I joined a league. I went 3-2, which, you know, I moneyed. At least I got that treasure. It was with, guess what?
What?
Infect.
Ooh.
Bug Infect. I found this list that had 5-0'd a league. It's no Glistener Elf. Talk about killing your idols, man. No Glistener Elf in it.
So what was the win con?
Blighted Agent, Ink Moth Nexus, and Plague Bird. I don't know. I don't know. The Plague Insect. You know, the one and a black flying one. All of them had to have evasion, basically.
Okay.
But here's why it worked. Because I will say this. It wasn't great, but it felt pretty good. I had a couple of turn three wins. Any deck that doesn't have Fatal Push, it just beats.
Yeah.
And decks with Fatal Push that are leaning heavy on it or Bolt, it has Disrupting Shoal and runs a ton of draw spells. So a lot of time I would just go turn one, Noble Hierarch. If they don't Bolt or kill it, that's fine. Turn two, play my Ink Moth Nexus, do nothing. Or maybe cast a Serum Visions or Sleight of Hand. Turn three, look for that double might hand or whatever, and just like might hit for 10. And if they try to kill it there, Disrupting Shoal, discard my one drop blue card and you can't kill it, and or just hit for 6 right there and you know, do the normal deflecting or whatever. Right. What's the card called? Vines of the Basswood.
Vines.
Do the normal protection plan. It was sick though. Disrupting Shoal somebody makes them super mad online.
Yeah.
Because no one plays around disrupt. You can't play around disrupt.
Right.
So that was cool. That's what I did.
Does it just feel bad without Gataxian Probe?
Well, I mean, that's what Shoal's there for, but yeah, it's definitely not as good.
Yeah. Because it hasn't been around. I mean, since...
Oh, it died. It was like the number two best deck.
Since Probe died, it just kind of went downhill.
Here's my thinking on that. I don't think it was the fact that Probe is not there. I think it's the fact that there's Probe and Fatal Push in the format.
Yeah.
That no Probe and now Fatal Push, because you could play around Bolt. Bolt sucked, but you could just pump in response. So you could just keep chipping in for that 1-2. And then when they finally have to be like, all right, I'm gonna hit it with that Bolt, you go, yeah, pump it for 5, son, or pump it for 4 or whatever. Can't do that with Fatal Push. Yeah, I'm gonna pump it all I want, but then you're gonna push it and it's still dead.
Yeah.
So it's a lot harder to play that game of like chip in here, chip in there. You know who did take it to the tournament this weekend is Tom Ross. And he said he thought that early in the tournament he had some bad matchups, but if he would have made it to the top tables, he thought he had a really good shot. I'm pretty sure he probably just took the old blue-green.
The regular version.
Yeah. But maybe he should check out. You know what, Tom, the boss, Ross, let me call you out for a second. Why don't you try out Disrupting Show? Let's see how that works for you. All right, well, we don't have a lot of news for you this week, Nate.
But not a lot happened.
Not a lot happened. You had something you just told me when you came in about Ixalan that you thought you heard.
Yeah, so I guess going into it, I mean, for those of you who don't know, Ixalan got spoiled pretty early before Hours of Devastation, all the rares and mythic rares. And so all everybody's ever been talking about since has been pirates and dinosaurs. And so I think that a lot of people get that in their mind that the only thing we're really getting is pirates, dinosaurs, pirate ships, cool stuff like that. But what a lot of people don't know is that we're also getting merfolk and vampires.
Tight.
And I think that's kind of crazy. I mean, we're getting a lot of different tribal effects going on that could really increase the value of some of the modern decks right now.
Well, there's no tribal pirate, dinosaur, or vampire deck. Well, there could be a tribal vampire deck.
There could be a tribal vampire
deck. But merfolk. You're excited about those merfolk.
I'm excited about the merfolk. Like, I think merfolk's a good deck. It just needs one little push to really get into at least a tier two. Hmm. And so I think that, you
know, I'd say it's a tier two deck.
Maybe. I mean, I guess against the right matchups, it feels pretty good.
It's a classic beatdown deck.
It is a classic beatdown like deck,
but with more interaction.
But it just doesn't have powerful cards. I think that's the problem. It just doesn't play powerful cards.
It plays Aether Vial, dude.
It does play Aether Vial. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying card. It's creature based.
That's true.
I mean, they all pump each other and they all do things together.
I hear you. You are being heard and you are being listened to.
Tweet, tweet.
Here on the MTG Cast Network.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, guys. So, since there wasn't a whole lot of news, besides the fact that Commander came out, Commander 2017 is released, go buy it in Walmart or wherever you go to buy cards.
Local game shop.
I don't know. Do they sell them in the local game stores?
I would imagine so.
I thought it was like a Walmart Target type thing. We don't have a Target, so our town sucks. Go to wherever you have to go to buy it, if you want to buy it. We tried doing a little bit of a preview last time, and I decided to cut it out because we are not very good at Commander.
We don't
understand how to do the Commander thing. So we're going to let you guys do that. You check it out, and you tweet to us about, you know, what you thought about the product. I know there's a couple cool cards for Legacy. Maybe. That's like a stretch.
Yeah.
But we do have some shout-outs. Some shout-outs for this episode. We want to shout-out to Who's a Boy who tweeted us.
Ripper Dejo.
Ripper what?
Dejo.
Ripper DJO?
Yeah.
Ripper Dejo.
Or the real Dejo.
Or the real DJ.
Yeah, so we were trying to brainstorm some Rune Halo.
Last episode, we mentioned stuff. Rune Halo. And we were like, I was dumb. And I was like, I just don't even know what to think about it. And we had this dude send us the best, like, breakdown of, like, here, when you're thinking of Rune Halo, here's a list. Nate, why don't you go ahead and list off a few of those things?
Man, so there's some crazy ones that I should have thought of and just didn't. Like, if you want to check out his cheat sheet, it's on Twitter. Check it out. It's got a lot of good things on it.
At Tilted Pod, he replied to us, or just go to him and be like, send me that cheat sheet.
Yeah, but for Burn, like, you know, Eidolon the Great Revel. It's a good card to call with it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you're hitting a lot of things there. Jund, Colligan's Command, Raging Ravine. I would have never thought about Raging Ravine when playing Ruined Halo unless I had just been hit by one.
Right. I feel like it's that's what I told him on Twitter is like, I space every time before I play the card.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's like, I'm in the deck. But when I'm just looking at it on the sideboard, I'm like, I don't know. There's too many things. But if you want to check that out, yell out his Twitter handle one more time.
The Real Dejo.
At The Real DJO.
D-E-J-O.
D-E-J-O. Yeah, check his thing out and follow him. Also, I want to give a shout out to my boy Jay Snyder, 207. I played against this gentleman in a video I put out on YouTube. He had a really cool innovation. I don't know if it was his innovation for sure, but I think he's definitely the first person I played with it. And the innovation was to Amulet Titan. We did a little mirror match, but he had this card called Retreat to Coral Helm and just kind of crushed me, just made me look bad. And he took it to a modern challenge, ended up going 4-2. You can check out his deck list on our Twitter feed, and you could also check it on MTGO or MTG Goldfish on the modern challenge. We're going to go over the deck list there. Congratulations to you, bud. Way to take that to a 4-2 finish. All right, Nate, buddy.
What's up, dude?
I think it's time for us to get into these deck breakdowns.
Love Modern. Love Modern.
God, people are going to get tired of it, though.
I don't think so. It's probably the best format right now, besides Legacy.
Legacy is the best format. Legacy is the best format, dude. Don't even get me started, but Modern is tight right now. There's a lot of decks. You can do a lot of things. And I was a week off. There was finally an Elves deck that did well.
There was?
I was just 1 week off, but I did. I mean, it felt like about time for an Elves deck to have a good finish. Anyways, I guess that means that we will start with the SCG Modern Open in Richmond. We're going to dive into these decks, and I hope that you dive into a bowl of popcorn and enjoy this. But we're going to start off with first place is Kazu Negri. This is a guy we know.
What up, Kazu?
Yeah, hey, Kazu. Four Horsemen gamer from WV. He's a good gamer. Very good gamer. This is always, in his first top eight.
Yeah,
he's
always a tight play.
Almost always the state champion. He's a good player. And he was on some crappy deck before. He was on that Counters Company deck.
Yeah.
And it just never got there for him. He switched over to the Gift Storm, a real combo deck, and crushed this tournament.
And got there.
Let's talk about his deck list. What do we got going on here? See, he's smart. He plays four Baral and only three Electromancer. Are you with me on that yet?
I'm with you on that. I think the eight is probably where I would be playing this deck. I see that he cut a creature and added one Apostle's Blessing,
which I think is really good because you play the creature and then it's free on two and then you win on turn three. It almost always works that way.
Yeah.
If that card sticks around, if you get your little reduction bear to stick around, the game's over almost every time. I would assume you're going to die.
Yeah.
That's what I would just
for
assume.
Sure.
And it's pretty rough to play against this deck knowing that. Like, when they go turn two bear and you're like, dang, I don't have removal for that. So pass turn and, like, hope you don't have a pass in flames, but most likely you do.
You do.
And most likely I'm dead. Because if they untap with three mana and have a pass in flames, I don't think they can mess up.
No.
Like, I mean, if they're any worth their salt at all, they're pretty easy packages that you get.
Yeah.
So, type, what else has he got in here? The one Peer Through Depths. Now, this spot used to be a Merchant Scroll. I've seen people play Thought Scour. I've seen people play... I feel like they've been looking for the best... This is, it's like, the Apostle's Blessing / Peer Through Depths... That's kind of their flex spots in the deck. It seems to always have 18 lands. You have to have the four of everything else except the two passing flames. The four remands is sometimes iffy. It's not always that. I think Peer Through Depths is the best version of this because it is still instant. You get a look at a lot of cards. What do you think?
I think the fact that it's instant really brings this to the front of the fold in this particular deck. I mean, you just want to be able to do it at their end step. You know, and find it, have it for your draw step, go from there. You can also do it in response to something, try and find, you know, your Apostle's Blessing or another card to kind of protect you. I think it has a lot of utility being an instant. And so I think you're right. I think this is probably the best card for this particular deck. So
yeah, it's pretty sick. Good. All right. So the big thing we have to talk about too in the Storm board is the Storm board. Two Dispels, three Lightning Bolts, two Shattering Sprees are his choice of Artifact Disruption and Destruction. An Echoing Truth, which is necessary for quite a few things. Blood Moon, Dismember, one Dismember, and three Empty the Warrens. I like that he's running the Trey Blood Moons here.
I like Trey Blood Moon too. I think Blood Moon's actually a pretty good card right now. And so if you can nail it early for Storm...
I mean, they get to play it on two.
Yeah, they get to play it on two.
So... they go turn two Blood Moon, and then they have all the time in the world to set up their combo pieces.
Yeah.
I think that it's, I mean, I bet he did that to a lot
of for people. Sure. If I was sitting across from a Storm deck, I don't think I would put them on Blood Moon through the sideboard right away. So I would maybe be caught surprised when they played one. having already fetched out a non-basic.
Did you see the finals? Because I hate to say this, guys. I did not actually get to see the finals.
I did see the
finals. You did see the finals? Did he Blood Moon Grixis Death Shadow at all?
I don't think he did.
No? So I wonder, though, if he did. James Forrest? Forrest.
Forrest.
Forrest. Forilla. Congratulations, Kazu. You defeated James Forrest in the finals playing Grixis Death Shadow. This is a straight up... You know, Grixis Death Shadow list, mm-hmm. except it only runs 3 Street Race. What? And we've what? Got 2 Sleight of Hands, 2 Culligan's Commands. Everything else is the same, except, you know what? He's running 2 Blood Crypts. What did he take out? Oh, he took out a Fetchland.
Yeah.
Took out 1 Scalding Tarn instead to make room for that Sleight of Hand. And then he took out a Street Wraith to make room for another Sleight of Hand. I think this is pretty cool. He also had some young peasies, young Peasy McGeezy in the sideboard, and I saw him make him work with tokens.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah. Also, double Liliana Veils, which we just figured out is really great in the mirror. Some Teamer Battle Rages to get through those pesky creatures that are blocking up, gumming up the ground. I like his Ceremonious Rejections in the sideboard. 2 Nile Spell Bombs. The 4th Stubborn Denial. I like his sideboard more than I like his deck.
That's probably true. The sideboard stock of everything that you want to be playing against most decks.
I just am glad that we've gone away from like the very stock sideboard that was always there. I think this guy actually like thought about it and made some really good decisions, yeah. and was like, "This is what I want to play, and I have a reason to bring these in for each match." And he did it, and he crushed it. Congratulations! Those games were cool. I love the young Pyromancer coming out. Just really getting people. In 3rd place, I was a week off. Elves with the Vizier of Remedies combo. Here's something I didn't know. Is that you can combo off in a pretty cool way. You want me to tell you how?
Yeah.
Azuri, Renegade Leader, you know how he pumps his elves, +3/+3, because he's the leader, he's the Renegade. And if you have 2 of the Devoa Druids out, as you're going off, you know, they're getting pumped +3/+3, meaning you can put more -1/-1 counters on them, meaning you can infinite mana with the Azuri out and infinite pump because they are pump up enough that they can keep untapping.
Neat.
So, really, you can go off in so many ways with this deck. I didn't realize how good Devoted Druid was. Because at first I was like, all right, they're just throwing this combo in there, you know, and it just happens that Devoted Druid's an elf. No, they should have been playing this card the whole time because it makes Azuri way better.
Oh, yeah.
It was sweet watching him, like, play into this. He was playing against a Collected Company deck, a Abzan Company deck that, honestly, they weren't playing the best. But he was, you know, courting into double Druid or whatever, and then he was just trying to explain, like, yeah, I'm gonna win here. I saw him do that against Affinity. And no one recognized that, oh, yeah, it's going to keep pumping those druids. They're going to keep untapping because you think they have a limited amount. But +3/+3 each time, you're like, oh, duh. And you don't even see it coming.
Yeah.
So now I think people will be ready for that. The 1 Westvale Abbey in the deck I like, I think I'm with Reed Duke on this one, where that could have been a Nykthos, or you could have fit some amount of Nykthos in this deck, maybe over the Pendlehaven too. Yeah, it's just a 4-chord, 4 Collected Company, and we all know that, you know, the Vizier of Remedies mixture with a Devoted Druid just makes infinite mana.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have a kill you right away, but it basically does. I mean, Azuri Renegade Leader, you pump an infinite. That's a lot. That's a lot of things. Here's what's coming in the sideboard. Chameleon Colossus is the de facto beat black card right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. What do you think about it? Chameleon
Colossus. I think it's great. Especially in a deck where you can just pump up a bunch of mana and get Chameleon Colossus way out of range of everything.
It also kills Death Shadow decks in one hit.
Yeah.
It's pro-black. Nothing in Death Shadow can block it.
Nope.
Well, unless they're bringing in, I guess Snapcaster can get it. But it kills it in one hit because if you pump it by 4, it's your 8 life. That's probably their whole life.
That's it, you know. Yeah.
Sweet sauce. Fracturing Gust. Oh, against the Affinity player. He didn't have to play this because he just played his 1 of... where is it? He played his 1 of Stony Silence, and that game was over.
Yeah,
Stony Silence is a rough card to beat, guys.
It's a beatdown.
Now, if Stony Silence wasn't out there, I think Affinity would just be the best deck, probably. But, you know, All right, we're going to keep moving on because we got so much to talk about. In fourth place, Just Got Control from Benjamin Nikolic. Break it down.
This is a cool deck. I like this deck. Three snaps and a Torrential Gearhulk. I like the, you know, you still have the four recursion. So I think that's good. I personally would have tried to get the fourth snap in there as well. The Ajani Vengeance as a one of is a cool idea. And then his spell package is very stretched, but not in a bad way. Two Lightning Bolt, four paths. I mean, that's pretty good removal. I like the one of Secure the Waste. And I don't know why. I always, whenever I look at that card and try and fit it in a control deck that I'm playing, I always feel like that card is so easily beaten by just multiple board wipes. But not a lot of decks right now are running those multiple board wipes. So I think that card's pretty safe right now to be playing. You get to snap it back, which I think is super cool. I mean, you can get a lot of use out of this in a late game.
I mean, this is a win card.
Oh, for sure.
This is like saying, I'm not going to cast a Sphinx Rev. Like, it's your second Sphinx Rev.
Yeah.
When you cast a Sphinx Rev for 8, you're going to just win the game. When you cast a Secure the Waste for 8, you probably just won the game. Yeah. So do it at the end of their turn or, and then just hit them for 8. This is 100% like a, who cares if they have a wipe? Like, you're going to kill them. Unless they have an Is It Staticaster, you totally got that.
But if they have an Is It Staticaster, you're...
If they board in an Is It Staticaster against this deck, they're pretty bad.
True.
I think that the cool thing is a double Electrolyte is probably really good against Affinity. The card that I think is kind of weird in here, it's like old standard control, Think Twice. Three of them.
Three Think Twice is not the number I'd be on, but still a good number. I mean, I think that this deck wants to churn through itself a lot. You get two cards off of, you know, one card, basically, because you get the draw card and the flashback. So it's not terrible. But he does have the one Sphinx's Rev, four Cryptic Command, and four Serum Visions to also get cards. So he's getting a lot of card draw.
Smart man, only playing three Celestial Colonnades. Good job, man.
And a Desolate Lighthouse.
Yeah, like that's good. Lighthouse. I like that. Sideboard, he's got an Engineer Explosives, two Celestial Purge. We got to deal with those Death Shadows somehow. Lightning Helix Negate, two Ruined Halos. And again, we learned a lot about Ruined Halo today. So many things you can name. We were very wrong. Ruined Halo is a good card. Two Clicks. I like the Clicks being in the side, not in the main. Bring in those creatures. Supreme Verdict number 3, Elspeth, Sun's Champion, which you need to learn how to play and wear tear.
Yeah, evidently, if you lay down an Elspeth, Sun's Champion, sometimes you can't kill things with it.
No, he's learning the hard way.
Yeah, though. I learned that one the hard way.
Learning the hard way. Wear tear is a great card. All right, we're going to move on because I think there's even more Just Got Control in fifth place. Jonathan Rossum. Now, this dude is just putting up finish after finish. And...
this is a very aggressive version of Jeskai Control. It's probably, I know it says control, this might be a little bit of Jeskai aggro. Four snaps, three guys, four spell quellers. It definitely has play in the late game.
It's a little bit of a tempo deck too, I guess.
Yeah, so it's got the four bolts, four paths, three lightning helix, three electrolyze, you know, plus is the control package of the serum visions, the logic knots, and the cryptic commands. I mean, the deck's good. Don't get me
wrong.
This
is a bolt, like, snap bolt deck.
Yeah, this is almost a Jeskai aggro deck. You have creatures that go real fast, and you have a lot of burn spells.
But he can easily turn... So now he's playing four Colonnades. I just don't get it, man. I guess he wants to turn these things on a lot, but, God, that's got to suck when you're, like, on turn two and you draw that third Colonnade. You draw your third land, and it's this Enter the Battlefield tap land, and you want to be able to spell queller or Geist. I hate it. I just hate it so much. Just cut one down. Cut one down. I like this deck. If I was going to run a Jeskai deck, I'd probably want to bring in these creatures. I think I'd want to play Spellqueller at least.
Yeah.
It's too much of a, like, stop what you're doing and then just hit you for two. Just chip in there. I like chipping in. And then you burn them. Then you burn them. Then you go to their face.
Yep.
I like that too much. He's got a Purge in the sideboard, two Relic of Progenitus, two Ceremonious Rejections, two Stony Silence, Anger of the Gods, V-Click in the sideboard, one Supreme Verdict, one Elspeth, Sun's Champion, and one Wear and Tear, just like the last player.
Mm-hmm.
I bet he knows how to use that Elspeth, too. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to keep giving you a hard time.
Yeah, it's all right.
Does he have any other man lands in here? Just the Colonnades, right?
Just
the
Colonnades.
Yeah. I don't know. You would never play that deck, would you?
It's close.
I don't. I just can't.
It's not. It's not control enough for me. I don't think.
It's pretty controlling. I bet.
It's
I bet
not if you, as controlling as a Gear Hulk. You know.
Yeah, but I bet if you sleeve that bad boy up, if you suited it up and played it, you might be like, ooh, this different. Is a good in between.
Yeah.
In sixth place, we have Becky Adaman. I don't know how to say your name. And Titan Shift.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. So I watched Becky lose a very rough matchup.
What was her matchup?
To the Mono White Martyr deck.
Oh.
And in game,
Martyr spoiling people's fun.
Martyr's spoiling the fun. And in game three, she quote-unquote missed a primetime trigger, and everybody was kind of freaking out about it. Turns out she was just a really smart player and decided not to use the trigger to go get two lands because the other guy had two ghost quarters on the table. The glare was real bad, so you didn't know what they were. But she didn't want to get those lands to have him blow them up.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah, she was actually very smart about it because she knew that if she got Valakuts, he would ghost quarter him off the table. And if she got too many mountains, she wouldn't be able to win the game.
Adelman. Oh, it's an L. Adelman. Is that it? Adelman? Yeah. Adelman. Yeah. Becky also, I'm pretty sure this was her first top eight. Yep. And apparently she just crushed it. This deck also, this deck is good. Okay. Weird thing she's playing in this deck, though. Let me tell you about the weird thing she's playing in this deck. Little card I like to call Path to Exile, or like, you can't have fun with your big one creature.
That's true. I mean, she had to be in tune for the Death Shadow coming at her, because I think that's the deck they lose to the most, right? Death Shadow. Probably something they can't handle very well. Path to Exile gives her the ability to just deal with one of their big fatties.
I mean, just anything. On. Or in the mirror, deal with your primetime. I like this play, though. I like this play. Play your primetime. Say you're just like 3 points or 6 points off or whatever. Play your primetime, get your two triggers, and then path your primetime and get that other land drop.
That's pretty good.
And kill him, like, on the spot. Like, just give him that little extra bit. I mean, that probably it's like a very niche thing.
Fringe,
but you
for
could
sure.
do it. Like, it could be done.
Yeah.
One Chandra, Torch of Defiance in the main deck. What are her white sources, though? Let's look at those. She's got only three Valakuts, though.
Her white source is the one of Sacred Foundry.
Sacred Foundry. Yeah. So I'd like going down to three Valakuts because it's not like you want to get that many more anyways.
I think we also saw a point in the game where she had Scapeshift, didn't finish the game, but had to sacrifice her Sacred Foundry. And she was holding a path, so she no longer had the path available to her because of the white mana.
Yeah, that could be rough, I can see. I'm kind of surprised she didn't fit in one more white source, but she probably only needs the one. You know, when she's scapeshifting, she's winning, most likely. So her sideboard, she's got that Bosaiju who shelters all. That makes things uncounterable, Nate.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, so your Jeskai control can't stop it.
It's an instant or a sorcery spell.
Yeah, so I'm talking about that escape shift. You can't stop it, buddy. Two engineer explosives, one planes to bring in case she needs an extra source for the path. One graph, one pithy needle, one ancient grudge, two pulse of Murasa. I like this card. What do you think about this card?
I think it's pretty good. I mean, honestly, if they can somehow kill your prime time.
Or that you have to sacrifice that stompy or that, whatever, the white source you have, you can bring
Sacred
it back.
Foundry,
gain
yeah.
six life and then path their thing.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got ghost quarters for the Valakut, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to kill one of your mountains when you're trying to go off. So that stuff does happen. So, I mean, this really allows you to get some of your lands back.
We got some Rex Sages in here, a Chameleon Colossus. Again, that is going to be a card that I think we're going to see in a lot of green sideboards. Two Crumble to Dust for the Mirror or Tron, and Rorik Thar the Unbowed. Love Rorik Thar. Love
Pretty
that
good.
Card. Really good card. See a Storm. Get out of here with that business. Sweet. Good job, Becky, in sixth place. Seventh place, Dan Musser. Dan, the Ohioan.
Back again.
Dan, back again. Is his deck any different? He's got three Karn Liberators. He likes the big.
Yeah, he wants to go over, I think.
He likes to go big in this deck.
I can't remember his the deck list that we talked about when he got the first place. I don't think it had three Karns. I also don't know if it had the two Inbringers and the one of Wurmcoil and the one of Ulamog.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he removed
I thought he removed the Inbringers for the Wurmcoil Ulamog package.
He did, but he was still playing. Oh, no. I don't know. Yeah, what... What did he remove?
Yeah, I don't know.
Expedition map. Oh, he has no relics main.
Oh, that is it. Yeah, he got rid of a relic and...
Yeah, so he got rid of two relics, actually. And two relics. He was like, nope, no more relics main. I'm just going to go big and bad. I wonder if he liked it. I mean, he made another top eight, so...
That's got to be... You would think that Dredge has kind of fallen off the fun wagon a little bit as far as people
relic
packing
it. Relic is good
it.
Against a lot of decks, though.
Relic is good Storm. Against a lot of decks, but I mean, its major win is when you pull it in a game against Dredge.
Or Storm.
I mean, those are both good decks.
Death Shadow.
But if you're trying to fit
Death Shadow
in,
can work around it.
Yeah, Death Shadow can work around it. It's not relying on it.
But it's still good. Yeah. It's still a very good card. I mean, even... You know, MTG noob Sean Money Mumfield realized how good that card was in the last big tournament he played. It's definitely a house. Now, I do like the fact that he's relegated them to the sideboard, and he's just said, I'm going to count on my big spells, like my Chalices, my All is Dust, my Karns, my Ulamogs.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like playing this one-for-one game, like I'm just going to stick a... Instead of like trying to control your sideboard, I'm just going to stick an Ulamog and see if you can deal with that. Death Shadow.
And not a lot of decks can.
The problem here is that if they don't... I don't know how this beats Storm that well. I guess that you've got Chalice, but you really need Chalice on two. You only have two removal spells. So you don't have a lot of ways to deal with most of their cards. So game one, I feel like Storm just crushes this deck.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? I mean, unless you have the Dismember in hand.
But, they get to bring in a lot.
Or unless they go turn three Tron. But this deck does Tron more often than people give it credit for. I see tons of people just turn three Tron.
All it takes is Tron piece map, Tron piece pop map for the third Tron piece
Or just have it natural Tron like a pro, like Dan Musser does every day.
Yeah, I mean, if you can do that, like
every
Dan
day
Musser.
He'd be shuffling and open up them Tron pieces. No, this deck is really good. I like this deck. It's fun to play. I might try his, bringing that Ulamog, play that third Karn. Congratulations, Dan, the Ohioan man. Affinity, there we go. Boy, Zachary Alexander in eighth. I like that it's still relevant, and it hasn't... I mean, there's a lot of hate for Affinity in these sideboards, but it's still not, like, levels of, like, three ofs and four ofs. And this Affinity deck, he's playing three Masters, one Etch Champion. He is playing, three Spires, one Mountain, one Glimmer Void. And that's about all the originality in this list.
Yeah, I mean, Affinity never changes. You know, it's got a lot of four ofs that you can't really cut down.
I heard a lot of people complain about how boring this deck was. Like it was like the most boring deck ever.
They've never played it.
It's really fun to play.
Yeah.
I mean, you are kind of doing these same things over and over. And I've seen some pretty bad players do really well with this deck. But if you really work on it, this deck can be very rewarding. Sideboard. He does have some interesting sideboard choices. One Whip Flare, one Wear Tear, one Gear per Aether Grid. Now, that card was sick against Elves.
Mm-hmm.
Three Etch Champions whenever you're coming in against those colorful matchups. Two Ancient Grudge for the Mirror or whatever he needs to deal with. A Thoughtseize, two Spell Pierce, two Relic of Progenitus, and a Grafdigger's Cage. Now, the Spell Pierce over... Stubborn Denial, what do you think?
It's hard. I mean, I think that Spell Pierce is a better overall catch-all that's going to save you from the game a lot. Having one mana available to counter that turn two Stony Silence just seems better to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the same thing would go for Stubborn Denial. It just... If they have
another mana or a monkey or something like that.
Well, yeah, if they're playing against that deck.
They really blow you out. I just like having it be available to me at all times.
It's true. It gets worse in the late game.
It does get worse in the late game. Whereas Stubborn Denial gets better in the late game.
As long as you have a creature with four, so that's kind of annoying. But yeah, but most of the time you can pop one of your creatures up above four.
Yeah. So let's talk about one more thing here. He is on 17 lands. I know that this is the normal land package you get for most Affinity decks. We're at 4 Blink Moth, 4 Dark Seal Citadels, 4 Ink Moth, and then 5 lands that you can kind of play around with. You get a basic and then 3 lands that create any color mana, right?
Yeah.
So we have a list coming up, and I don't know if we'll get much into it. In 10th place, Lucas Michaels has cut one of those lands. He cut one of the color-producing lands, which gave him access to the second Etch champion. And I know that you've played Affinity a lot. We've played a lot of matches together. Do you ever feel like you get too many lands? Is cutting lands out of Affinity good? I mean,
it's awful when you can't cast that Galvanic Blast, though.
It is.
It's awful when you go to your side. Does he have one in the sideboard?
No.
It's awful when you can't cast your sideboard cards. Like, yeah. And he has a lot of color requirements in his sideboard.
Yeah.
But personally, though, I don't play the Glimmer Void. I play three Spire, and then I play one, the draw card.
Seagate Wreckage?
Seagate Wreckage, because, I mean, I like drawing cards.
Yeah.
And you play your whole hand most of the time, and sometimes you need that extra, like, oh, where is it? Where is it? Where is it?
But 16 seems good. I mean, because the way I look at it is, you have 16 lands, right? You have four Mox Opals, so you're up to 20. And then you have four Springleaf Drums. So, I mean, you're kind of 24 lands most of the time, you know? And so
Springleaf Drum is not a land, though. You cannot count that as a land. That is
half land. I'll give you half.
I mean, because you want to be attacking, too. You can't. It's really good for the first couple of turns, but, I mean, you need to turn it on. You can't give it a full land count.
Yeah.
And Mox Opal, you can't really give a full land count. Well, maybe you can because you can get there early, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could see cutting a land for one more, but he's cutting it for one more 3-drop.
Yes. And, you know? Well, I mean, yeah. So it is a little bit of a give and take. It's kind of
funny.
It is kind of funny.
His sideboard, though, is what surprises me. Cutting that land. I mean, you can't cut one of your colorless lands, though.
Yeah. I mean, he's cutting a land, and he's got a sideboard chock full of color. I mean, we're talking white cards. He's got Dispatch, 2 Rest in Peace. He's got 2 Spell Pierce for his blue cards. He's got a Thought Seize and a Bitter Blossom on his black cards.
I mean, I like his list. I like his sideboard a lot.
Oh, for sure.
My favorite thing about his sideboard, too, is he's playing Bitter Blossom.
I love
really
that Bitter
cool.
Blossom.
Spell Pierce. I guess we're just switching to Spell Pierce now, guys. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's cool. He's playing 2 Ghirapur Aether Grids, which I'm definitely playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll try it out. Yeah. It's minuscule, you know, but it could be the little extra you need, you know.
Well, anyway, you know, Zachary Alexander, Lucas Michaels, both on Affinity, both 8th and 10th place. Congrats to both of you.
We'll just kind of run through the rest. 9th, Grixis Death Shadow.
Pretty stock list.
11th.
11th was Green White Company.
I think Hunter Nance was crushing day one with
this. He did crush day one with it. Ran to a couple snags day two. Caleb Schur is always there with U-Red Gift Storm in 12th place. And then Felix Elias, 13th with a Drowsy Tron.
Another Affinity by Daniel Norton in 14th. Let me just look at... I'm just looking real quick. He's going 2-2.
Yeah. I like the 2-2 split of Etch Champion Master of Ethereum. Or are you talking... Spire and Glimmer Void.
No. He's going. He's 3 Glimmer Voids, but he's playing an island, which I don't hate because there's been so many times where I want that island. But the weird thing is his sideboard's got no islands in it. What is happening? Guys, if you're going to play an island in your main deck over a Glimmer Void, I mean, I like it. You've got 2 Master of Ethereums, but then run some counter spells or something. Like, you have nothing. You have 2-8. What is happening? Just play white. Play Plains then.
It's hard to tell.
That is weird.
Green Red Ponza, a deck that I don't hate.
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like you would love this deck.
I like it.
It does everything you like.
It does
locks
everything
people
I
out
like.
Of the game. Plays Bonfire of the Dam. Plays.
Yeah, pretty cool deck. 15th place, Andrew Black. Congrats. Cortland Strold.
What is it? Cortland. Cortland Strody.
Strody.
Is that 16th,
Eldrazi Tron. It's hard to tell.
All right, time finally talk about your deck.
Yeah,
White Red
I'm gonna briefly go over it. White Red Prison, 17th by Mike Coyle. Congrats. I haven't met you. I'm a huge White Red Prison person. Normally we all stick together.
So he loves you.
Yeah, we're probably all on the same message board, to be honest.
No.
He's got a cool build. He cut the Gideons.
You would have heard about Bottled Cloister.
Yeah.
I hate Gideon. So.
Yeah, so he cut the Gideons, went to the full set of Chandra's and Nahiri's.
Better.
But one Elspeth's on Champion. The thing I don't like is he's
redundant.
Running foreign Snaring Bridges with the Emrakul package.
I hate it. Okay, no, let me talk about this. Michael, maybe I just don't see it, but how do you tap that in Snaring Bridge to get rid of it with
Nahiri? Yeah.
I'm not sure. The one Emrakul prevents you from ever being milled. I guess you can bore them to death and then just, you know.
Yeah, just keep going.
But I hate having Incinerating Bridge and Emrakul. Why not take out that Emrakul and just add another Elspeth or another Anger, a fourth Lightning Helix?
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Like, I don't get it.
So Bottled Cloister, everybody, is a 4-drop artifact. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, remove your hand from the game face down. At the beginning of your upkeep, return all cards removed from the game with Bottled Cloister to your hand, then draw a card.
So basically, it's and you can never play at instant speed,
mm-hmm.
but you're drawing two cards a turn.
Yeah.
Which this deck never plays at instant speed anyway.
It's only got three instants in a 75. So pretty okay with that. But anyway, we won't spend a whole bunch of time on that. Notable shout-outs, Harlan Fryer got 19th with Jeskai Control again.
I think it's Fear.
Harlan Fear.
The Fearer.
19th with Jeskai Control again. He's kind of been on fire as of late. Emma Handy was 25th with Ured Gift Storm. Congrats to her. Dan Jessup, 29th with Grixis Death Shadow.
There's a lot of Titan Shift in the top 30.
And there is a lot of Titan Shift. Let me tell you what I learned today, though.
What?
Titan Shift is actually tied with Affinity right now as the most played deck in Modern.
I mean, I can see that. I can see it too. It's a really good deck. It goes over the heads of everyone. It just does what it does. There's actually two more things I want to bring up real quick. Blue Moon, haven't seen it in forever. This is Blue Moon with 4 Emrakuls and some Through the Breaches in it. Only 2 Blood Moons, actually. So it's really Blue-Red Through the Breach. It's Blue-Red Control.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
With... you know, Emrakul and Through the Breach, he's just going to beat you that way. Some Karanos in the sideboards. Haven't seen that guy in a long time. But
long time.
If you like, you know, crazy, weird decks, check this one out. And the other one I wanted to talk about, because everyone was Mono White Martyr made it all the way to 23rd, Logan Reinhardt.
He was undefeated day one.
Was he undefeated?
Undefeated day one. Him and Becky were playing as the 2 lone 8-0s at the final match on day one. And he won through Martyr. I mean, he martyred 3 times to gain something crazy.
So what I saw him do, which what I didn't really know was a thing, was he Ranger of Eos out like a Squadron Hawk or whatever. Not a Squadron Hawk, but he just got Squadron Hawk somehow.
Mm-hmm.
He cacod the rest of his Hawk buddies, except for one.
Yeah.
And then he Misveiled Plains, put every time it died, he put it on the bottom of the library, right?
Yeah.
So then he could just cast another one, go get it. And he had infinite, I mean, Squadron as long as he had some mana, he had the birds never stopped, dude. And I'm scared of birds a little bit. That's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
You also, I didn't realize how good Squadron Hawk is in this deck with Martyr Sands. Get all of them and reveal X, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, I would never want to play this deck, but maybe I would. I don't know. It's kind of cool. Got 4 Wrath of Gods, too. It's just a bonkers deck.
Yeah.
It does so many weird things.
Yeah.
But congratulations to you for almost making top 8. We got still so many to go over. Let's go over the top cards of this tournament, though. Path to Exile, 46 in these top 32. Saren Visions, number 2. Lightning Bolt, number 3. Relic of Progenitus, number 4. And Snapcaster, number 5. Oh, my God. Blood Moon is 6th. So yeah.
Blood Moon's big. Sideboards, main boards, every boards.
Blood Moon's all over. We just have a top 8 of Sao Paulo. Mm-hmm. That's all we got released. Bant Nightfall. Number 1. And is this Bant Nightfall? Yes. It's basically Collected Company humans.
Yeah, with the Nightfall combo.
I mean, you got a couple other things. Like, you got good cards like Spell Queller and stuff.
Yeah.
There actually is a Collected Company humans that we'll talk about. This is really like Collected Company Bant.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got the Retreat to Coral Home combo. And if you guys don't know what that is, kind of look it up. It's hard to explain. But Naya Reliquary... sacks a land, gets a land, untaps it. You just keep doing that. You make a huge one. You're netting mana.
It's crazy. I mean, you basically make a...
you can win that turn. You usually get a Kessig Wolfrun. Does he have that in his sideboard? He doesn't even have a Kessig Wolfrun in his sideboard.
No.
I'm not really sure how he goes over the top of them, but he just makes a bunch of clues with Tireless Tracker and just smashes your face with a knight. So that was first place, and that was Hualelis. Vitor Grosato, Titan Shift. What up, dude? I mean, we talked about this deck. He's playing Hour of Promise, though, and that's a cool thing from him.
He's got the Prismatic Omen and Hour of Promise thing going on.
I like it.
I like it a lot. He's also got one of Wood Elves. I actually had to read what that did. And so it's a 3-drop, 1 green, 2 generic. When it enters play, you get a forest card. Pretty cool. I mean, more acceleration. Titan Shift's probably one of the best decks, if not the best deck in Modern right now. Hard to look out for.
In Is this third place? Grix's Death Shadow with a Lily in the main.
Yeah, so he has no sleight of hands.
No sleight of hands and only playing two Stubborns. Still like this, like it. He's still playing 19 lands because he's playing the three drops.
Yeah.
And his sideboard is really, like, looks a lot like an old Jerry Thompson sideboard. So
yeah, for sure.
Sure, he got a little bit of that. Then Rafael Costa Zaghi is coming in fourth with Tron. Now, we're not talking about, like, Eldrazi Tron. We're talking about
traditional Tron. Well, actually, not traditional. Green-black.
I mean, I think green-black is now the traditional. Red-green has not been around for a long time.
That's probably true. The only thing he's got going on, he's got a little bit of spice, not much. He is running two Thought Not Seer's main board.
I thought that was normal now.
I don't think that's too normal. I think that's kind of weird. I think that's normally, Wyrmcoil Engine still.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Thought Not has more utility, so that's good.
I like the fact that he's running the Scavenger Grounds in the main board.
Yes, the one of Scavenger Grounds. Yeah. I like that.
Pay two, tap, sacrifice a desert, exile all cards from all graveyards.
Yep.
It's just a little bit of searchable hate for anything using the graveyard.
Yep. But other than that, just green-black Tron.
I like green-black Tron. I hated green-red Tron, but I like this deck because you get to play Thraktusk on the sideboard, man. It's cool. And you get to play Fatal Push, and you get to play a lot of Collector Brutalities. Which is really good against Storm.
Yeah.
If they have the 2-2.
Yeah.
Grix's Death Shadow in fifth. Carlos Ferremo.
Almost the exact same deck. Main board.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Fabian Nunez with Abzan. Abzan, we got a Siege Rhino deck. Don't want to talk about it. Don't care. If you're an Abzan fan, look at it. It plays a bunch of good cards.
I will say the one thing that I like about this Abzan deck is the one of Tireless Tracker. I think Tireless Tracker is a really good modern card that not a lot of people play with. I think it does
I think it's starting to make its waves.
I think it does some pretty busted stuff. I think people don't give it enough credit. I like that he has one of those. He is down to two Siege Rhinos instead of the playset of four that I hate.
He's playing three Stony Silence on the board. Just have enough ways to beat... Affinity, why don't you? Let's go with four Lingering Souls main, some Collective Brutalities, some Abrupt Decays, and then, oh no, we'll take three Stony Silences in the sideboard.
that should do it.
Yeah,
annoying place is, to me. Counters Company by Julian Reyes.
Good job getting into a top eight with a Counters Company deck.
Yeah, I hate
the name of this deck.
Yeah, Counters Company is not great. I will say that out of the board, he does have the one of Linvala, Keeper of Silence. I think that card's pretty... pretty much a Mirror Breaker. The board is pretty much the same, although this is the Viscerous Seer version. So
this guy has
green-white.
Nothing has changed from like the time this deck was invented to now.
Yeah, it's
one Renegade, one Ronus. No, he is playing Ronus, which I commend him for that. One Renegade Rallyer, one Ronus, one Scavenging Ooze, one Selfless Spirit. So he's got a little cord package when he's not just going for the combo. But yeah, it's the same thing. I do like the Yixalid Jailer in the side. Cards in graveyards lose all abilities. So see you, Dredge. But Dredge hasn't really been a big thing as of late.
Eighth place, Jeskai Control, Juan Seto.
And he took the old list that I think Jonathan wrote, Rossum.
Yeah,
top eight. And with that one of Thundermaw, I'm pretty sure this is the same list.
I think it's almost the same list because the two Shadow of Doubts are in a sideboard.
Yeah, is that Engineer Explosives? Was that main in the last one?
It was main in the last one.
Yeah,
I think it's the same list.
And we know how Jonathan likes to play four Celestial Colonnades. Get out of here. Hate it.
That's great. Anyway, that was the top eight. It has some good stuff going on. Similar to the last tournament, the
number
Open.
One card, Path to Exile. Except we don't have we got Birds of Paradise in the eight here.
And Kitchen Finks. It's weird.
Well, I think this is only the top eight. All right, Birmingham. Moving on to Birmingham, Governor.
Birmingham.
I'm going to go to Burning Man.
Speaking of Birmingham, should we call it?
Shut up.
What?
That's cheesy. Burn one. Congratulations, Burn.
To Loic LeBlanc.
Loic LeBlanc.
So I like this list. Do you like this list?
Do I like this list? It's running no. Oh, snaps, dude. Yeah.
You like it, don't you?
I kind of do. They've replaced the two drop. A very. This makes it very inexpensive.
Yeah. Budget burn. So, everybody who's listening, if you wanted to build a burn deck for cheap, maybe
well,
you
these
wanted a budget.
To, a
burn
lot.
Deck. Has he spiked?
I'm sure these have spiked.
Anyway, if you're trying, is this $1.44 on Goldfish? If you're trying to build a burn deck without some of the expensive cards, look up this deck from the Birmingham tournament.
So we've replaced the card that hurts you. We've replaced the Eidolon that everyone was ready for with a artifact card from, I don't know what set it's from, but Shrine of the Burning Rage. Shrine of the Burning Rage states, if you don't know it because I didn't remember, at the beginning of your upkeep, whenever you cast a red spell, put a charge counter on Shrine of the Burning Rage, pay three, or is that what it is?
Three and tap it.
Tap, sacrifice Shrine of the Burning Rage. Shrine of the Burning Rage deals damage equal to the number of charge counters on it to target creature or player. I didn't see this in action because I didn't watch the finals, but I heard it was pretty sick. I like it. I mean, it never does damage to you. It's that late game push. And then he's just straight four of's, dog. I don't do anything but run. This is deck 420. Everything's a four of. And he's got 20 lands. Rift Bolt, Skullcrack, Searing Blaze, Lightning Helix, Boros Charm, Lightning Bolt, Lava Spike.
I love this deck. I'm probably going to build this deck. In fact, I'm eBaying my Shrine of the Burning Rage now.
Oh my gosh, he's a weirdo. He's got four Destructive Revelry, two Core Firewalker, two Shattering Spree, three Relics, two Path, and two Grim Lavamancers in the sideboard. Yeah, cool, man. Congratulations on taking it down with Burn. He defeated Steve Hato in second place with Black Green Rock. Yeah, Black Green Rock. Again, at least it doesn't have white in it, but a double Maelstrom Pulse, Abrupt Decay deck with Inquisitions and Fatal Pushes and Thought Seizes.
This one's a little different, though. I like the Dark Confidant.
Dark Confidant's a sweet card.
Two Tireless Tracker I love, two Eternal Witness. So I think
this is
deck
a Lily Dark Confidant deck, Lily Goyf deck with, I mean, we know this deck. Everyone knows this deck. I'm glad to see it like doing well again because it's a very fair deck. So,
and then in third place was also Abzan Midrange. So instead of some of those recursion cards, you get Grim Flare and Scavenging Ooze and Kalidus. So Green Black just had a good showing in Birmingham. I mean, I can see why Burn won through the top eight a little bit. Some of these decks were not ready for it mainboard. Scavenging Ooze is probably pretty annoying, but they can kind of get around that, you know.
But this deck runs two main deck Kitchen Finks. I mean, I guess the Dark Confidants.
Dark Confidants got to be just killing him.
But, so then we've got Abzan in fourth. God.
This is a Counters Company rendition, another one.
It's not.
In fourth place?
Abzan. Alberto Galicia.
Oh, yeah. I guess I was counting that as third.
Is it third?
It's somewhere in there.
Place. Albert Galicia with two Kalidas in the main deck. See, he's beating all kinds of life gain.
I mean, he's got to live that long, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's true. They're not dead by four. I don't know, man. Lots of Collective Brutality, Stony Silence, Flaying Tendrils. I don't know why, but I'm having a hard time talking about this top eight because there's so much Abzan and Green Black.
It's a lot of Green Black. It's not getting better either. No, it is. Counters Company, congrats to you. You piloted it to a top four.
Is it Green Black again or is it just white green?
I think it's just
it's
Abzan.
Black. We've got some black in it.
Abzan.
Oh, there's so much. Wow. So two Counters Companies finally breaking into the top eight. Good on you guys.
Yeah, good on you. I mean, I think
this has an infinite life combo, and Burn still got that.
Well, I don't think Burn played this one.
I don't know how it went, but.
So, I got to say, though, I think that we were right in the beginning. We talked about this on one of our early pods. I'm not even sure that we aired that one about Counters Company and just there's a good build for Counters Company somewhere, and we just haven't found it yet. And I think that everybody has stopped innovating with it. And so we won't actually know what that build is for a while.
Well, I kind of like, I mean, one, I hate Counters Company, but I kind of think the Elves one is a good version because you
have
multiple ways.
The Elves one is a good version.
But I also think that there's somewhere like how we innovated this Bent Nightfall Humans deck. Deck was like popping around, right?
Yeah.
Then somebody was like, well, why don't I just go ahead and play this big old human named Knight of the Reliquary because she's a human. And I'm still a Collected Company path deck. Yeah. But I'm just going to play some Retreat to Coral Helms and just win the game.
Yep.
So this is the innovation we need for the company's deck as well, I think.
Yeah.
But this deck is sweet. So if you haven't seen the Champion of Parish, you know, four or eight one drops, 8 1-drop mana dork humans into a good 3-drop deck, then you should. But you get to play Collected Company because everything's a 3-drop. You get some Reflector Mage. You get to bounce some things.
Awesome. I love it.
The cards in this deck are all good. He does have some weird stuff in the sideboard that I've never seen before that are humans. Like this card, Vithian Renegades. When Vithian Renegades comes into play, destroy target artifact. I didn't know that existed. Cool card. He did some digging on the MTG gold mines, I guess. I don't know. And let's see. We got some Izzet Staticasters in the sideboard. Aethersworn Canonist. Blessed Alliance. Burrington Forge Tenders. He's playing 21 lands. It's only 2 Cavern of Souls for a humans deck. I actually like his. So I played this humans deck at a tournament. It wasn't this one. But the thing I didn't like about it was the mana base was like all caverns and all what's the mana confluence. Because I was playing. Yeah. Mine wasn't really banned. You know,
yours
mine was
more
like
of a
five colors.
Five color deck.
Which his has got more colors in it than, you know, but his is like 4 colors. There's no black in here. No Sin Collectors or anything. I think this is just probably a better version all the way around.
Yeah.
You know, it's got that beatdown element mixed with the Knight combo. So congratulations for innovating that deck and winning.
George Channing on Grixis Death Shadow.
Anything new?
No. Congrats to you. Good
he's
job.
He's playing one
it
Lightning Bolt. I like it.
Yeah, he's got the one of Lightning Bolt, but other than that, that's pretty much
19 lands.
That's pretty much where it's at. Oh, 8th place.
Lantern Control.
We recently had a friend who played this. This deck is just really hard for me to enjoy playing.
I loved playing this deck when I was playing it. The only thing that sucked is the games lasted forever.
I think that's why. I think I was so used to
some
tournaments
going
forever.
Yeah, well, people just wouldn't scoop. Like, they were dead. They were locked out, and they just wouldn't scoop for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you'd even have to coax them into, like, you do understand you will never draw the card you want. Like, there is no way for you to draw it at this point.
Yeah.
And they're just going to
make
they're
you play
keep
it
doing it.
Yeah.
Which is understandable. That's why I kind of like the versions that have, this one does not have it, but some versions run, like, what's it called? Why can't I think of his name? Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Something to, like, just end the game once they have the lock committed.
Yeah.
And this one does not have that. This is more of a, this is just straight up Zach Elsick classic right here.
Yeah.
There's nothing new about this one at all.
So the last deck we want to break down, though, is Simon Nielsen's Titan Shift deck. I like this deck a lot. It's got a little bit of weird flavors in it. He's running a mainboard Pia and Kirin Nalar. I like that. He's running a mainboard Thraktusk. I like that too. He's running 2 mainboard Roasts, though. I'm not sure I can get behind that one as much.
That kills 5/5s.
It does kill 5/5s. And he's also running a mainboard Sweltering Suns. This one I really can't get behind.
Why?
I know that you can cycle it for 3. Like, I get that. You get a card out of it. I think if you're running a committed 3-drop to wipe away the board, you want to be running Anger of the Gods.
I don't know, because sometimes you don't need that.
I agree,
like,
but
Anger
it's only
of the Gods,
one of. Yeah.
Anger of the Gods is, like, legit dead in some matches.
That's true.
Just 100% dead.
Yeah.
So, sometimes I want this effect without... And plus, like we said, Dredge is on the out and out.
It's true.
Now, there were some things where he probably was like, I wish I had anger, but he's got anger in the side. And I kind of like it. I would actually, I think I'm more on the Sweltering Suns playing in this
than
deck.
Than anger.
Because of its main deck, and I just need to cycle it because I need to find that Scape Shift now.
Yeah.
I just think that anger is, you know,
better.
Like, again, anger is better overall, but in this deck for a main deck card, it seems really good.
He's also running 1 Prismatic Omen.
Yeah, that's what our friend Aaron's doing. I like the one of just as a thing.
Yeah.
The one of Pia and Kirin and the one of Thraktusk, those are weird to me.
They're a little weird. I like the Thraktusk. I like the life gain out of it. I mean, it probably helps in a lot of matchups. The Pia and Kirin Alara, I just can't imagine a scenario where you play that and you go, this is good. I mean,
it ends a game too, I guess. I mean, you can it gives you a little bit more reach.
It's hard. That's hard for me to
get. It's good
against
Affinity.
Yeah.
It puts up a block. It puts up some blockers.
The sideboard card, though, that I really want to talk about.
Witchbane Orb?
Witchbane
Orb.
That's
what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. I mean, cool card. 4-drop artifact. When it enters the battlefield, destroy all curses attached to you. You have hexproof.
Too bad it didn't help him against Burn.
It did not help him against Burn.
Anything else cool in this sideboard? A Beast Within, I like that. Three Obstinate Baylos also did not help him against Burn, and a Spite Bellows. Spite Bellows is pretty cool. When it leaves the battlefield, deals 6 damage to target creature, and it has Evoke for 3, and it's a 6-1. You can cast it for 6. I guess you never do that. I'm going to say you never do that.
Probably never do that.
I actually think the Rose main deck I can get behind.
You think you can?
Yeah, I do. I probably like the other lists more. Yeah. But I could get behind the Roast.
Okay.
I don't know how much I like the Thragtusk and the Pia.
Right.
Other
than that, though, I mean, had a lot of Abzan. There's a lot of Abzan in this tournament.
Now, I say that, in ninth, there was a Dredge deck.
Was Dredge.
Yes. But he got through that. You know, he didn't have to play it, probably.
Right.
But this is a... new card in Dredge we are going to talk about. Driven to Despair. This card, I've been waiting to see if it does something. Until end of turn, creatures you control gain trample, and whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. I bet you never cast that front end side, unless it's in your opening hand. But aftermath, until end of turn, creatures you control gain menace, which means you're not blocking them, and whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player discards a card. So I'm going to put out a bunch of these things out real quick, pay 2 mana, and smash you on turn 2 if I had a good dredge, and make you discard your hand.
That's pretty good.
Oh, this card is sick. I think it's a really cool idea to add it to the deck. I really wish I could talk to old Guillaume... I don't know, man. Sorry, I don't know how to say your name.
Mr. Perbert.
Guillaume Perbet. I wish I could talk to you and find out if that was good or not. It looks really good.
It looks good. I mean, it looks good on paper for sure.
It looks super good on paper. Does he have anything? Haunted Dead. He doesn't have the rush thing. Ooh, this looks fun. I haven't played Dredge in a long time. Maybe I'll bring Dredge back. You are Gift Storms in 10th. Eldrazi Tron in 11th. Ad Nauseam. We have not seen an Ad Nauseam deck in a while. Let's go ahead and click on it just in case. Is there anything new? No. That's three
That's
ley lines.
A big old no.
Three ley lines main board. Okay. Oh, Lightning Storm. You name that with
That's on the list.
Yeah, but you can't name Laboratory Maniac.
You cannot.
No. So that still kills you. Let's see. We've got another copy of Dredge in 13th. 14th is another copy of Abzan, as well as in 15th, and in 16th. Grixis Death Shadow. I don't see anything else super cool except maybe 24th. There's a fairies deck.
There is a cool fairies deck. Blue-black fairies.
Yeah, it's go cool. ahead and break that down. Oh, I mean, dude, your cool. old deck's on here too. Never mind. There is one more cool deck.
Four Snapcaster Mage, 4 Spell Stutter Sprite, and 2 Vanillion Clicks, 4 of the Veils, and a lot of removal. I also like a lot of the spell package. I like the one of Murderous Cut. I think that card's really good as a one of for sure. 3 Cryptic Man, 2 Reman, 2 Perilous Research. Pretty good when you're putting out 1/1 tokens.
Yeah, this
just
is
sacrifice
true.
That 1/1 token right there.
This is true.
I think this deck's really good. I mean, the thing that I don't know so much about is the 2 tech edges in the sideboard. No way to really search out lands. I think that card could be better utilized as something else, but you really need the land destruction and you are on 2 colors, so I guess sometimes you just gotta do it. Maybe Ghost Quarter instead. I think Ghost Quarter I like better.
Yeah.
I mean, if they get out Tron with 3 lands and never lay another land, you're still dead.
Well, here's a deck that you said was dead and is awful, is Kiki Cord. Kiki Cord is in this. Playing Inferno Titan.
Whoa.
Get in there, my man. With that, Huntmaster of the Fells, Avalanche Riders, Magus of the Moon, Quarter Calling, Eldritch Evolution. I'm sorry. And Fiery Justice, which this card is sweet. I've never seen this as a 4 of in the main deck. This is a Blood Moon deck, really.
Yeah, for sure. This is a Blood Moon deck.
Fiery Justice deals 5 damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures you. And or players, target opponent gains 5 life. Yeah, it doesn't matter because he's going to kill you with, you know, all
minutes.
So this is a 3-color Blood Moon deck. Pretty ballsy with some cards like Court of Calling where you need a lot of green. You don't necessarily need the green, but it's kind of cool. Avalanche Riders to blow up some lands. I like this version, kind of.
It's cool.
There's an Esper Death Shadow. Which
yeah,
is cool.
It was a lot like the Grixis Death Shadow deck.
I mean, it's basically the same thing. You just got 3 main deck lilies.
Yeah.
You get to play some Lingering Souls. It's still cool, though. There was, let's see, top cards, Thoughtseize.
Who'd have thought with all that Abzan?
Yeah, Thoughtseize, second, Fatal Push, third, yep. Serum Visions, fourth, Path to Exile, fifth, Inquisition of Kozilek, and sixth, Liliana of the Veil. Yeah, that is our tournament breakdown. Oh, we got one more we'll talk about for just 1 second. We'll break it over real fast, though. The Modern Challenge. Jesus, is a lot of decks. Thanks for sticking with us for this full hour of decks. Modern Challenge, we're not going to do too much. We've already told you our boy Jay Snyder, 2017, went 4-2 with Amulet Titan with the deck with a Retreat to Coralhelm combo in it. So go check his deck list out. Also, Affinity, Eldrazi Taxes, Eldrazi Tron, and two Jeskai Control decks and a UR Giftstorm all went 6-0. Nola Gold, a notable land player, went 6-0 with Jeskai Control. Hate his deck choice. Love the guy, though. Good guy, good streamer. Definitely check him out if you have not. 5-1, we got a cool-looking burn deck. Black-red burn. This is a heavy creature package. So yeah. Everybody's doing cool burn things right now. This is a Goblin Guide Monastery Swift Spear, 4 Vexing Devil, 4 Eidolon, 2 Keld Marauders. But the reason he's doing that is because he's running Claim to Fame, which means he can return a target creature with converted mana cost 2 or less from the graveyard to the battlefield, and he can even pump it, giving it +2/+0 on haste. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll bring back my Vexing Devil. Would you like to take another 4, sir?
That sounds gross.
Or I'll just give it +2/+0 in haste and swing for 6. Or yep. I'll bring back my Keldon, and it has haste, or it doesn't have haste, but it's got Vanishing, and it's going to deal damage to you. Or I'll bring back Eidolon of Revels whenever you're about to go off. Wait, this isn't an instant, is it? No, sorcery. Never mind. I'll do it the turn before you go off if I need to, if you dealt with it. This is sick, dude. I really like this. Claim to Fame, there's 2 of Syrian Blaze, Lightning Bolt, Lava Spike, Bump Tonight. He's got a lot of 3 damage spells, 20 lands. Cool card in the sideboard, Self-Inflicted Wound. Target opponent sacrifices a green or white creature. And if that player does, she loses 2 life. Nothing to stop them from gaining life in the main deck. But in the sideboard, we've got some Skullcracks.
Yeah.
And a Rain of Gore in the sideboard. Rain
That's
of Gore.
That's pretty cool.
If a spell or ability would cause controller to gain life, that player loses that life instead. So your Kitchen Finks, they suck.
Yeah.
They're awful. They're just, okay, bring it. I'll kill it and lose more. Yeah, real bad. I really like that deck. Ban Eldrazi made a 5-1. Dredge a 5-1. Bunch of Eldrazi and Taxes. A traditional Jun list.
By Team Rocket.
Yeah, Team Rocket's coming back at you. Mono Blue Gifts Tron by Shock Trooper and Plericor. Or Pierrecor.
Shock Trooper's just good,
Shock Trooper is good at Magic. Well, he's good at that deck. Anything else cool? What's this white, black, green deck? Wild Cantor. Oh, this is the all-in combo. Have you seen this deck?
Mm-mm.
Matsugan went 5-1 with the 100% combo version of the 15 land Hall of the Bandit Lord. Pay 3 life, give your creature haste.
Mm-hmm.
Vizier combos, Devoted Druid, like combo deck. Like it's 100% all in. You're playing Oath of Nissa's, you're playing Conjurer's Baubles, Mistress Baubles, Manamorphose, Traverse,
oh, wow.
Commune with Nature, Ancient Stirring, Summoner's Pack, Pact of Negation. Like you're gonna win right then, Wild Cantor, or you're not gonna win at all. So that's pretty cool. That probably took him a while to get good with because that deck looks a little complicated to play.
Yeah.
Whole bunch of Affinity and Amulet Titan at 4-2. Some Humans Company, some what is this, red green? This is a Summoning Trap Through the Breach Emrakul deck.
Yep.
That's kind of cool down there. White, blue, black, another Resto Angel Geist. An Esper deck. Just an Esper control deck with some spell quellers and some Geist. That is it for our tournament breakdown. That was so many tournaments, dude.
Tournament breakdown.
All right, man. What we want to do next is have you, if you stuck around and you listened to all those tournaments, then you must be a serious Modern fan. And if you have any questions for us, we'd like to start answering questions at the end of every episode. So anything you want to ask us or anything you want to talk about, please send it to us at Tilted Pod on Twitter or hit up our videos at the Tilted Play Network. We are going to try to put out more videos, more content, but the more interaction we get, the more we can do that. We'd like to have another giveaway. We are getting out, when are we sending out packs? If you played the game, we're sending out packs to you. We've already gotten two out. Yeah, by Friday, we'll have the rest out.
Yep.
We've got two packages out. We'll have the rest out by Friday. Mm-hmm. What else, man?
I think our next giveaway, we're going to give away some playmats.
We're doing playmats?
Yeah, let's give away some playmats. It'll be fun times. We'll have a game.
That's a really down from a Chandra Torch of Defiance.
Well, we're going to give away a lot of playmats.
A lot of cool playmats?
Yeah.
We got to give away a cool one. We're going to find a cool one.
We're going to find a cool playmat.
A cool playmat. Let's see. What else we got going on?
I think that's it. I think this weekend is GP Washington, D.C. for all of you
standard aficionados
players out there.
I kind of want to go. I've never been to D.C. It's 5 hours away from where we are.
Yep.
I don't have a standard deck, but I feel like I could just play Mono Red and be fine.
I think so.
Or just play zombies. I have zombies.
I think I would want to go for the playmat. I mean, that's really where I would want to be at. If you haven't seen the playmat is the Nicol Bolas from the Hour of Devastation art.
Yeah, I don't want that at all. You could have mine.
Well, I mean, it looks cool.
But you like big old planeswalkers, though. You're a planeswalker guy. I'm a small spell and small creature guy.
Yeah.
Let's see. We don't have any games right now. We don't have anything else to do. We just did a lot of breaking down. So, like I said, we'd like to start answering questions. Please interact with us as much as you can on Twitter, YouTube, on the Uplay Network. And we just got in iTunes. So, you can't subscribe yet. This episode will probably not be the one that goes live, but we have another episode that's going to be coming up once we're getting a new logo.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing some cool things for the pod.
Yep.
And once we get those in, we'll be having a deck tech on Primeval Titan /Amulet decks coming out later this week. And that should be released with a new logo. And then we will have our backlog of everything on iTunes where you can start to subscribe to us on iTunes.
Which would be sweet.
Which will be really cool. But also, support the MTG Cast Network, and if you're listening to us on there, you can subscribe to them on iTunes. It's the only thing with that is you get a lot of podcasts, and sometimes that can be rough. I wake up and I'm like, I got 28 podcasts. There's so much good content out there, though. Please go check it out on the MTG Cast Network.
Yeah.
There's really some great stuff. Man, I think this is it. I think we're done. I think we're done.
We made it.
All right, man. For Tilted Pod, I'm Seth, and this is Nate, and we are peace. Benjamin, 100 cash out. Cash. Smeagol money never stops. Smeagol. Walk around with the sandals and gloves. Forward the Smeagol guy, nigga, get popped. Smeagol money never stop. Nah. Smeagol money never stop. It can't. Smeagol money never stop. No. Smeagol money never stop. Oh.